I'm going to teach a little lesson here this morning, continuing where he left off last time, but I'm going to kind of focus on love this morning, and I just like to stay right in there with what's being taught to us. You know, Brother Wade's teaching the statue of perfect man, and I just want to stay right on that study because I don't want to get everybody distracted with other topics and things. And also, Brother Bob's been on the subject of faith. So, my key focus is I love to love and I hate to hate. I'm all about love. I love to love people. And when it comes down to where I have a choice, when I face adversity with someone, I try to overlook that. You make a lot of examples like road rage. You know, you think, well, I could rage back a little bit when somebody does something to me on the road, but you know, otherwise I could say, well, I don't think they meant to do that. I can overlook that. Maybe that was an oversight. They didn't mean to do that. And just try to be forgiving and loving to people. And that's the way I love to be. Just take an attitude of love, and just as a choice. You can choose to love or you can choose to be hateful toward people. It's a choice we have when it comes to loving our other people and brothers and sisters in Christ, especially. The bride, I believe, should be experts on this subject of love. I don't claim to be an expert on it. I'm a student. I'm a student on the Word of God. I'm a student on everything I do. I'm a student truck driver. I'm a student pilot. I'm a student parent and student father. I'm trying to constantly better myself and pray and ask the Lord to help me to be better at all that I do. So I'm not claiming to be an expert on this, but I just want to bring out some things that I hope will be supportive and helpful in the subject. You notice I put there part one, because I'm sure I won't finish today. So maybe we'll have a continuation of this later. I'm going to go and open in prayer just for the lesson here. Heavenly Father, we pray you just bless us as we study on this subject of love and help us just to understand a little bit more about you and your love, especially the agape love that we need to know so much about. Lord, as Brother Wade stands here ministering to us on that, Lord, help us to just open our hearts and open our minds to receive that and more understanding and of filial love too. Lord, we just want to know all about you and that great love that you've made for us. And we give you the glory for it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to review the last lesson, I was talking about the stature of perfect man and all these virtues in the life of the Lord himself. It's not hard to study in his life and see on display all these virtues. As you notice there, that top left picture, him as a boy with the doctors, I think the scripture calls them doctors, that means just like basically the teachers. He was discussing the word with them at a very young age and asking them questions. He was all about the Father's business from a very young age. And then there's those silent years when he comes to this 29 and a half, becoming 30, the Bible says. He comes to be baptized and be anointed for his ministry. There was a growth development in that silent year period. And he was evidently reading the scrolls, going to the temple. The Bible says that was his custom, you know, to go to the synagogue and on the Sabbath and to read the Word of God. So we know during those years there was some growth development. He was growing in grace and knowledge. And then he came to the stage where he had all these virtues on display in his life. And it's, like I said, it's not hard to see that. I'm going to try to go a little bit slower today because I know I won't finish all of it. So I'm going to try to slow down a notch. So he was all about the Father's business. And then as you see, he comes to the end of his life, especially there on Calvary. That was the embodiment of this, what we're talking about, love, this agape love. Such a strong display of it that he was there on Calvary and being mocked and his beard being torn out and he's being spit on and ridiculed and being laid there open and naked and bare and shame for us, and that he still displayed all this love, even for the ones who were mocking him. He was dying for the sins of the world. What a display of agape love. It couldn't possibly be a greater display of love than that. Amen. So what I want to say is, let me back up here before I get to that. I like to look for examples, okay? And I know that these things were on display in the life of our Lord, and they should certainly be on display in the bride. But you're not going to see billboards. You're not going to see big flashy signs, you know. God is in the little things. That's why I love like Sister Rebecca Durrett's testimonies and Sister Beverly. They testify about God in the little things in their lives. And don't overlook those little things because God's in all those little things. Now look at the virtues in your life and in the lives of others in the bride of Christ, and you can see these things on display. I want to give some examples. Just some little things I've noticed, and you're going to think, Ryan, that's not really virtue. That's not really godliness. Well, yeah, it is. If you really think about it, it's on display. It's in full view, and it should be. It's not far off. It's not across the sea. The word of God is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, and it's manifesting. It's a living word manifesting his attributes, these virtues of the stature of perfect man. So it's here. Okay, just be attentive and focus on what is going on around us in your life and in the life of other people. Okay. I came here from the Baptist Church at 17, and immediately I noticed a huge difference. Okay, not condemning them in the Baptist Church, they don't know any better, but the ladies, some of them, you know, they would wear makeup and cut their hair and wear pantsuits and even shorts and t-shirts, men and women both, just kind of, you know, not really dressing holy and living holy in that way because they didn't know any better. But I came here and I noticed the first thing, you godly sisters, the way you dressed. I said, man, that's, I already had in mind what I wanted to marry, that God had dealt with me about, you know, when I get married someday, I should look for a girl that would be willing to put Christ in marriage. That was my ambition, because the youth pastor at the Baptist Church told me that. Look for someone who would read the Bible and pray with you and go to church with you, and you two would love the Lord together, serve the Lord together, put Christ in marriage. And then I came here and I said, wow, I need to do that, but also I need to look for one of those godly, saintly, holy dressed Christian ladies, Holy Ghost filled, with the long dresses and, you know, not clingy form-fitting clothes and no low blouses and things like that. Nothing provocative. Because being a boy at that age, 17, a lot of hormones, I didn't like to be around people that would be a source for temptation for me. Okay? So you sisters were the reason I chose to marry Gabby. I would look at the lives of, like, Sister June, for example. I could name a lot of names here. I had a lot of people in mind, and I said, God, give me another June. Give me another Peggy Dell, another Lisa Dell, another Anna. All the Annas. We've got lots of Annas. But so many examples here that I said, God, I want one of those. Holy dressed, and that's the way Gabby was when I met her. But that was an example to me of all this godliness. That's godliness. We're the way to spend sermons, many sermons talking about that godliness is already here. We already have godliness, and sometimes we take it for granted. We don't realize we're already living godly lives if you compare us to the world. It's easy to see. We chose to name our fourth child Ava when Gabby had conceived her. I remember praying with her one night, and I said, well, I opened my eyes from the prayer and I said, I want to name her June, her middle name June. Not just after Sister June. That she's a special lady to me, to Gabby, to many people here, because she's so kind and loving and all that. She's a very special lady. And that's why I chose that, her and Brother Wade, like my message parents that I didn't have, because my parents didn't come in the message. But aside from that, it's representative of all you sisters, because I knew through that what to look for in a wife, through y'all's example of godliness. I knew through that, that's why I chose Gabby. Now, look for examples of brotherly kindness, charity, and selflessness. That's a big part of all this. We're talking about love. Selfless. Brother Wade's been on the subject of selflessness. That's a hard thing. Okay. Remember that God hides himself and reveals himself in simplicity. One of many examples I'm going to give here is... For many years, I've gone back and reminisced over mine and Gabby's wedding day, and I looked at the pictures of her, but I didn't really notice in the background. I mentioned this certain young lady last time when I taught my lesson about the stature of perfect man, and I remember that this certain young lady was kind of, she liked me, okay, just being blunt. I met this certain girl, Kentucky girl, in 2005. I met her at the Alabama camp. She liked me, but I didn't like her that way. I wanted to be friends. Well, she continued liking me, and it wound up, it's just one of them hard things as a teenager. We all go through that, where you like someone, but they don't like you back. And that's hard. But she's over it. She's happily married now, godly Christian man she married. They have a beautiful family. But I never had noticed until 15 years later, I looked back the other day at this picture, and I saw in the background this certain young girl. And what you notice her doing there is a display of brotherly, sisterly kindness. Despite that she liked me and wanted to marry me, she was going to let me marry Gabby and stay back out of the way and actually help Gabby on her wedding day to prevent possible embarrassment. That runner that goes down the aisle, her dress had got snagged on that. And she was going to walk down the aisle dragging that thing behind her, possibly, and embarrass herself. You know, that's a real display of brotherly kindness. as little as that looks, yet think about what was going on in her mind, that she wanted to marry me, and yet here's this other girl. Brother Branham said, when you love someone right, you could let them marry someone else, and you just step yourself up by the wayside and said, I'd rather you be happy. Yeah. You know, that was a display of that. That was a display of brotherly and sisterly kindness. She just stepped out of the way and said, I'm actually going to help Gabby have a good wedding and a good life and go on, and I'm going to get out of the way. Selfless, so selfless. Godly little girl. So Brother Dale is another example. Think of our pastor, Brother Dale, stood faithfully for many years, ministering the word of God for our benefit. And our other ministers have done likewise. How many times have we heard Brother Dale stand up here and say, I would be happy to see y'all make it in the rapture and me just go by the wayside, me just stand off and be happy to know that I had something to do with it, but yet y'all make it, and if I don't even make it, he would say, I'll be happy just to see y'all make it. What selflessness, and to set himself aside and study and pray for us, not for his benefit. I know ministers do benefit from it too, but you know, they're doing it for us. They're stepping aside of all the fun they could have. They go out, and instead of going out and having fun on the weekends, they sit and study and pray and seek God for a sermon or whatever, or a lesson. And that's selflessness. That's them. That's godliness and kindness and brotherly kindness, you know, on display. I know she doesn't want me to mention this probably, but a couple Sundays ago, Sister Regina had a little birthday party for me and my family. Got us a cake, came back there in our little room. We're not out here in the main room where everybody was seeing that, so she wasn't doing it to be noticed. She wasn't doing it for notoriety or recognition, but now she's getting it. Sister Regina, she came in there and had a little birthday party for me and my family. Got us a cake and cards and all that, and she came in there and she just sung us happy birthday just to celebrate us. And I was like, wow, brotherly kindness. Amen. Totally selfless, not thinking of her own self. I got to make a distinction here too, right up front. I want to say that I'm comparing back and forth during this lesson on agape love and philo love, but make the distinction that they are very separate. Agape love is very infinitely higher than philo love, okay? It's so much higher, but yet I guess it'd be okay, as I said, to say I'm a student, so I'm going to word it this way, that maybe you say, God, let that condescend, that great agape love, condescend to a form of filial where we could begin to understand something about agape love, because how else could we understand something so great? So Luke 14, if any man come unto me, hate not his father and mother and wife, children and brethren, and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord telling us to hate our brother and sister, something don't sound right. Go down to that other big print, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So he's kind of clarifying what he said there at the top, at the beginning of that verse. Hate is, if you look at the definition there, Strong's definition there at the bottom, it's in bold print. It means love less. So our love for God should be infinitely higher than our love for spouse, children, friends, family, and even one another. It should be so much higher that it's as if it were hate. Okay, big, big difference. Likewise, there's a big difference between agape and filial love. So I don't want to come across like I'm saying they're one and the same. They're definitely not. But let's see. For some reason, the highlights didn't show up on here, so I don't know which part I'm supposed to read. But anyway, Ephesians 5, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So you see here Paul making the comparison of marriage and filial love, marriage love, as a comparison to Christ and the church. That's kind of what I'm doing here, back and forth. Several times through here, husbands love your wife even as Christ loved the church. So he's making that comparison, filial and agape. We can understand a little bit more about agape just by our natural relationships between husband and wife, parents and children, and brother and sister in Christ, and just friends and with people. You can kind of begin to see the, in a much lesser form, this great agape love on display. Because agape love is a great thing, and it's really infinitely beyond our understanding if God doesn't bring it down somehow to where we can grip it, where we can kind of have a tangible example of it here. So skip on down to verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Okay? So faith and love, two tremendous subjects. I can't think of anything greater than faith and love to talk about. And yet, at the same time, simultaneously, our Brother Wade, Brother Bob in Sunday school now talking about faith. Brother Wade is now talking about the status of man, brotherly kindness and love, getting into these great two subjects at the same time. Such a tremendous thing. I mean, it's really a sacred holy ground we're standing on right now, with them talking about these things simultaneously. Something we should really meditate on. And with their backgrounds both being in Brother Bob, you think of Colossians 1:26. He loves that scripture. And Brother Wade is real particular to Genesis 1:26 and 27. And you think about Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's our, you could say, our theophany. That's our eternal life that was in God before the foundation of the world, that he brought down to this spirit man that we're coming back to. It's what we bypassed. But that's agape love. And here is Brother Wade talking about love, standing here. And I'm sure he's going to be talking more about it as we go. And Brother Bob about this scripture, Colossians 1:26, and especially verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Faith. What great faith. And Brother Branham talked about, I don't think I have the quote till much later, I won't get to it today. Fall in love with the Lord first. I've got a whole bunch of slides probably for my next lesson about first falling in love with the Lord. The most important thing you can do. Really fall in love. Not just say, I want to stay out of hell, I'm just trying to dodge hell. But no, really fall in love with the Lord first. And then it'll start you in this baby form of love, this baby form of faith, of believing, that'll just keep going and growing from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from love to love. You'll be loving the Lord more all the time as you go through your journey. But start off with love. Just giving a little depiction here. I think that's how Brother Wade said it the other day. These first four, okay, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, are kind of all inward, dealing with us, you know, individually and with our own self. But then godliness is more upward. And then I believe he quoted that brotherly kindness and love are outward. That's the hard part. That's toward our fellow man. That's the part that's kind of hard to get a hold of. But it's attainable, okay? I'm not saying it's out of our reach. Again, it's attainable. We can get it, and we even see it already on display so much. Just really be attentive and watch around you. Faith is the greatest expression I can think of, just for an example, of how great the faith of Jesus Christ himself is, would be the universe and creation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Of course, love, already said, the greatest display of that was, I believe, Calvary. Christ would die for our sins. This is a picture I think of the Andromeda Galaxy. I love to talk about space because I see in that God and his vastness and how vast and great creation is and what faith can do with this man, Jesus Christ, that would speak his word. First think it, then he would speak it and then believe it. Mix his great word with his great faith, this infinite, this boundless faith, and will create a universe that we don't think about much, how vast it really is. This Andromeda Galaxy is our close-in neighbor, 2.3 million light years away. So if you was to go the speed of light for 2.3 million years, you'd reach our neighbor galaxy. That's close-in. That's the closest one. Well, anyway, they think that our galaxy, the Milky Way, looks something like that. They don't know because they can't send a probe out there. It's too far to go out there. It would take millions of years to get out there and look. If you was to cross from one side of this galaxy of ours to the other, they estimate it to be 100,000 light years across. You'd have to go the speed of light for 100,000 years to get from one side to the other. That's our galaxy. That's not the universe. That's our galaxy. That's our little bitty galaxy. That's not even our solar system. That's just our galaxy. Now you think about all the other galaxies out there, and they can't find an end to it. And the God that made all that spoke it and believed it with his own faith. Tremendous faith. And now he had to bring that faith down to the simple form of childlike faith. I've got it in here later. I don't know if I get to it today. I think it's on one of my next slides. I'll hold that for a minute. I don't know much about human anatomy. I'm not an expert on this. I know Sister Ruth knows about this, other nurses, but human anatomy is a fascinating thing. And I just think it's incredible to think about the human body. The God that spoke his word and believed his word could create this complex, very impressive machine of the human body. And even one blood cell is not just a blob. It's a complex machine within itself with all these little intricate little parts. You take any system of the body, the intestines, the lungs, the cardiovascular system, the skeletal system, any of it, it's just absolutely incredible. And God spoke that. He thought of it in his mind. He spoke it and believed it and even said, I want to be that. He said, I want to be part of that. It's God making himself flesh, but it's all this display of his faith. And then here again, we have this display of love. My slides got out of order. So condescension of God brought condescension of his attributes. Okay, Matthew 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, not one of the doctors, not one of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he called a little child and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, a child just believes what they're told. They don't have any reason really to doubt you. They don't worry. You know, Brother Chris and Sister Jessie's, they got those three little girls. They don't get up every morning and wonder, I wonder if I'm going to have a meal today. I wonder if I'm going to have somewhere to sleep tonight. No, they just believe. They just don't worry. They have all this great love and this great childlike faith that they just love mommy and daddy. They have confidence in mommy and daddy, and they believe mommy and daddy, and they trust mommy and daddy. And that's how we approach our dad, our heavenly father, with that great love and faith, just simple childlike love and faith. Part of our daily devotion time to the Lord should include meditation on him and his word that he has revealed to us. Meditation on his word coupled with prayer and singing praises to him will cause us to fall more in love with him. Now I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this just for a minute as we kind of transition to this other side. Now I've been on agape. Alright, changing gears, getting on to filial love. You know, if you have agape love, if you have the love of God in your heart, it kind of spills over into other areas of your life and in your marriage and in your love with your children. And it's sort of you're a student of this great God of love. You're a student of his and you're learning love. And as a way you can, you know, spend time with God and love him more and more as you go on your journey. Likewise with your spouse. It's also an effective method in marriage. Think about your spouse sometime each day while singing. You don't have to do the love songs, okay? I know some people may not want to sing a love song, but think about your wedding song. Main thing is just meditate and think about the good things, the good qualities of your spouse. And that enhances your love. You musicians can go ahead and come, please. Think about when the two of you first fell in love, your first date, your first meeting in life, etc. Never lose that first love you had. Never leave that sweetheart stage. Thank you, Brother and Sister Tatum. I plan to mention that next time about Brother and Sister Tatum and many other examples, Brother and Sister Dale. People have been sweethearts in their marriage for decades and set the example for us of how it's supposed to be done. When you put Christ in marriage and really have real love for each other, that starts in kind of a seed form and just keeps growing because you work on it, because you cultivate it, because you think about the good qualities of your spouse and don't think about all those, that last argument you had, or how you're going to, you know, when you get home from work that day, how you're going to, you know, set her straight or set him straight or whatever. That's what Brother Dale used to say, something about that. He'd think about something maybe all day, get home and she's made him a banana pudding or something and kind of calm things down a little bit. It changes the atmosphere. So anyway, that's all I want to say for now. I'm going to close with that. God bless y'all. Thank you.